Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. England says farewell to the Iron Lady. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is September 17th, 2013. This is Bill Quinn, and we're on day two of Newsworthy Clips. You can find on pages 26 through 29 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. And yesterday, we were talking about dark lightning, a weather phenomenon. It was a rather scientific column that we were discussing. There were some really difficult and advanced terms in that yesterday. And before we get started on our news clip from today, let me just get a thought from my panelists. Just one idea from yesterday, a concept or maybe a vocabulary term that they think might be helpful for you. And first, Josh Mooney's here. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Bill. It's nice to be here. And yesterday we talked about Central Florida being the lightning capital of the United States. And though, of course, it's not a city, but we do talk about areas of a country being famous for something. And I am from the orange capital of the United States, Orange County, California.
All right. Makes sense. And there are plenty of oranges there. The orange capital. That's right. Every area is known as this capital of the world or this capital of the country. What is Texas known as? The capital of, Joanna?
I'm not sure what Texas is the capital of, but Austin is, I'm told, the live music capital. And I've also heard it is the tattoos and piercing capital, which I also believe.
Okay. Well, you know, that's right. City is actually, or a region is actually better. I said the state of Texas, but actually, yeah, it's better to say, well, the capital, the city, Austin is the capital of this, or, you know.
We're also the capital of Texas, which is real. But, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's Joanna Wirtz, our very own superhero, now known as Dark Lightning. And give me a thought from yesterday, Dark Lightning.
Well, we learned that dark lightning can be hazardous. Hazardous is a great word to know. It just means dangerous, harmful for your health. Lots of things are hazardous. For your health.
That's the warning we put on cigarettes, right? That smoking may be hazardous to your health.
I'm betting it is.
I think, yeah, we've changed it from may to
is.
Is.
All right. Well, all right, those are some thoughts from yesterday. Today, we really shift gears. We go from a very scientific article to a people article, even a history article in a way, and it is about somebody very famous.
We're talking about Margaret Thatcher, the longest-serving prime minister in Britain, in over 100 years. And we're going to talk about her death, her funeral, and her legacy.
Okay, now at the top of the program, I had said that England is observing the passing of the Iron Lady. Why did I say the Iron Lady?
Well, that was her nickname. That was what people called her.
Mm-hmm. That's what we call you around the office, Joanna.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
It used to be Iron Lady. Now it's Dark Lightning.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if someone's called something iron, it means they're steely, fearsome,
right.
Hard to break down, and she was a tough cookie.
Yeah, that means she's really tough, and she would not give in on things, and she couldn't be damaged or hurt, and she was very strong, especially in the early part, maybe the first half of her leadership. And that happens a lot of times with leaders, that they have a lot of power, a lot of strength and support. And she would not waver. She would not give in on some of the things that she believed in. That's also, she had like an iron will when it came to what she thought was best for Britain. Also then last year, it was made about a year and a half, 2 years ago, was the movie The Iron Lady, right?
Yes, played by Meryl Streep, who mm-hmm. always does a fantastic job in pretty much every role she plays.
Yep. And I would recommend going to see The Iron Lady for our audience if you have not seen it. It's a very interesting portrayal of this woman. The family and some of her supporters thought it was a little unfair because as Margaret Thatcher got older, as she aged, she actually had some issues as far as dementia and memory and things like that, so which happens with a lot of people. And they kind of thought the movie was unfair. I actually thought the portrayal was okay, and I thought it was not bad. I thought they were pretty fair with her. What did you think?
I don't know a lot about Margaret Thatcher's life and the controversy surrounding her, so I can't give a well-rounded opinion of it. But I thought the movie makes you think. It's not an overly happy movie, but it makes you think about what she did, whether she was, you know, Iron Will, whether she should have bent and made some different decisions or whether she was right. Makes you think.
Well, she was very divisive. She was not someone that, you know, everyone loved as their leader. Either were on her side and the tough choices, especially economically, she was making, or you hated her. Really polarized the country.
Well, and there is a clear division in Britain as far as their political parties. You've got the Conservative Party and you've got the Labour Party. And they actually have huge philosophical differences. And she was a Conservative Parliament member. And so her beliefs about what was right for the country are very different. And so, as Josh said, you either loved her or you hated her. And that's what was the case in England. Even in her passing, we saw that.
Yes.
Right? Some people loved her. Some people hated her.
Yeah. There was a really disparaging song that was number one on the pop charts after she died.
You said disparaging.
Just very negative towards someone.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. We will split up our reading into three sections. Our first section will be the first two paragraphs there on page 27. Margaret Thatcher's legacy. With stately solemnity and military honors, Margaret Thatcher's body was borne through the streets of the British capital to a funeral service where hundreds of world leaders, colleagues, and friends paid their last respects. Inside St. Paul's Cathedral, mourners gathered for a simple religious service in memory of the woman whose transformative but controversial premiership from 1979 to 1990, was the longest Britain had seen since the early 19th century. Among those present in the church was Queen Elizabeth II. Okay, we see Margaret Thatcher's legacy. What do we mean by the word legacy, Joe?
Something that a person leaves behind, like...
Your reputation?
Yes.
Yeah. Something not physical. Right? It's not something...
What you're remembered for.
Yes.
Maybe the changes you made in the world.
All right. Well, we need to think about what will our legacy be? Mm-hmm. What will your legacy be? And it's not just legacies aren't just for great, famous people, but they're also for each one of us. So we need to think about what is our legacy going to be? And that might help form some of the choices that you make on a daily basis. Now, how do we start this news clip?
Well, with a stately solemnity and military honors is how Margaret Thatcher was laid to rest. So it wasn't a joyous occasion, a celebration with music and lots of kind things. It was very solemn, which means it was serious in terms of its tone.
All right. And so then we see here that throughout this very solemn event, her body was borne through the streets of the British capital.
Yes, born, I believe, is the past tense of bear or like to carry, to have something on you.
It's really kind of a strange word, isn't it? Because when you look at this, of course, we think of born, B-O-R-N, as far as giving birth. But then we add this E, and it's a whole different meaning to it, right?
Maybe it's a more of a British word than what American English is accustomed to using.
Yeah. Okay. So again, it is the past tense of bear, to carry something through the streets here in the British capital in London to a funeral service where hundreds of world leaders, colleagues, and friends What did they do?
Well, they paid their last respects. And this is a phrase we often see attached to funerals, where you say you are there to offer your condolences to the family and then to offer respects, which meaning good feelings, positive thoughts that you're offering to the family of the deceased.
Okay. Inside St. Paul's Cathedral, which is just a big, beautiful, glorious, domed cathedral in London. If you ever do go to London, I recommend that you go see St. Paul's Cathedral. It's a must-see. Mourners gathered. Who are mourners?
Mourners is people simply grieving the loss of a loved one.
Okay. What were they gathering for, Joe?
Well, just a simple religious service in memory of the woman who had a very controversial premiership.
Okay. We also see transformative. What does that mean?
That means it changed. It made some very big changes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When she became Prime Minister of England in, I believe it was, 1979, England's economy was just in rubbles.
It was a mess.
America wasn't doing so hot either. But England had inflation that was 20%, unemployment through the roof. And she made some major, major changes to their tax system and how the government was funded.
Yeah, and they had a lot of strife nationwide, too. They were having strikes constantly, and they had high unemployment, a lot of people, work stoppages. Things just weren't getting done. It was almost coming to a stop. So this was her transformative and controversial premiership.
Well, yes, when you're the premier of a country, you are its prime minister. They have a different version of democracy than we see in other countries, but it's an elected leader. Again, like Bill said, part of the conservative political party, and it's the highest, similar to a president in other democratic systems.
Okay. And so we see that some of the people that were in attendance, among them was Queen Elizabeth II. And we have a list of the other people that were there on page 28. We'll get to that a little bit later in our program. Now, let's have our second reading for today. It will be the left column on page 28 and the first paragraph on the right column down to line 7. Outside, under gray skies, spectators several rows deep crowded the sidewalks of the streets leading from the Houses of Parliament to the cathedral. Baroness Thatcher died April 8th at age 87. Her death immediately renewed the fiery debate over her political legacy, which supporters say was Britain's restoration as an economic and military power, but opponents say was an unequal society that exalted greed. She was our first woman prime minister. She served longer than anyone in 150 years in the job, Prime Minister David Cameron told the BBC. Even those who opposed her policies were perfectly capable of saying this was a remarkable woman who impacted our history. Okay, we are talking about the funeral of Margaret Thatcher, and we continue with this on page 28, and we get a description of what the day was like.
Well, fittingly, it was cloudy and gray. England is known for its kind of gloomy weather throughout much of the year, and it was no different on this day when spectators several rows deep crowded the streets to get a view of the processional.
Okay, they were crowding the streets leading from the Houses of Parliament to St. Paul's Cathedral. And we get more information here on Margaret Thatcher.
Well, we learned that she died April 8th, age 87. And when she died, it immediately renewed this debate over her political legacy, which we were talking about was quite controversial. Some people loved her and other people couldn't stand her.
Okay, now first, let me get this explanation on a baroness.
Right. In England and in much of Europe, they have royalty. You have, kings and queens and dukes and duchesses, and those titles are bestowed on your heirs, your children that follow. But then there's a whole other realm of titleship that are just given to people who have achieved a lot in society. Mm-hmm. And this can be done later in life, at all stages of life, whether you're a duke or an earl, or in this case, a baroness. So she was granted that title, Baroness of such and such of a region of England, mm-hmm. after she retired.
And of course, the male version of that would be baron.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now, Joe, we talked about the next sentence, and we see the word fiery debate.
Fiery, like fire. It was really heated, a heated debate.
Mm. Okay. And this was over her political legacy as far as the time that she did rule, those 11 years. And a lot of people, some people say, great job. Other people say, oh, no, terrible job. And again, it all depends what political camp you're in.
Right, and much of it was financial. I mean, she just made some really tough decisions about raising taxes and eliminating social services that, you know, the Labor Party thought were crucial to the government's mm-hmm. success. And so folks that were against her but felt that that society became unequal under her reign, that the rich got richer and the poor got poorer.
Yeah, we see there exalted. It says the opponents say it was an unequal society that exalted greed.
Exalt means to give a lot of praise to or raise up. So according to them, she created an unequal society that really gave a lot of worth to greed. Apparently, maybe greedy people or rich people were being more successful under her rule than the average person.
Okay. All right. So that is the debate between the people on her legacy. And one of the – going to go back to the movie, which we had talked about, The Iron Lady. We see here military power. There is, of course, a very specific example of the Falklands War when Argentina decided to claim the Falklands Islands, which actually is was in the possession of England. And this was back in the early 80s, and it was a very controversial situation because some people thought, oh, well, why are we even worrying about these just islands that are barely inhabited in the southern tip of South America and very, very far from England, but she was resolute. She was very strong that she was not going to let the Argentine government take over the islands. And actually, they just one day invaded and decided to take over. And so it actually did result in a war that they had to send ships so far, and it took weeks for the ships to get there. But it was a very, very controversial decision in England. There was not agreement on this. But this is part of why she got the name Iron Lady. She would not give in on this.
Well, and she was ruling at a very crucial time in history, you know, during the end of the Cold War and really the end of Britain's kind of colonial reign, where it did have these far-reaching territories. Mm-hmm. She was responsible for the Sino-British Treaty that unraveled their control over Hong Kong, which didn't take place till another 15 years later. But she was the one that kind of put those proceedings in place.
Yeah. Okay. So she had a profound impact on many events around the world, not just in England. And We hear from the current Prime Minister of England in our next paragraph.
Well, Prime Minister David Cameron says she was our first woman Prime Minister. She served longer than anyone in 150 years in the job.
Okay, so significance there being the first female Prime Minister and then also serving longer than anybody in such a long period of time. So this comes from Prime Minister David Cameron, told the BBC. He continues in line four.
He says even those who opposed her policies, who were against the things that she made happen in government, they were perfectly capable of saying she was a remarkable woman. And if something is remarkable, it has distinguishment, significance to it. And it says that she was a remarkable woman who impacted British history.
Well, certainly, if you are in power for 13 or 11 years, make that, then you're going to have an impact. And it was a very crucial time for England. So, and even her opponents can say, well, yes, she did have a big impact on it. So it's something they're still arguing about this today, 23 years later, about her legacy as the leader of England.
And that's very common in politics and in world history. It's tough to really get a sense of a legacy when you don't have the benefit of time, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the George H.W. Bush legacy is still definitely mm-hmm. going to be up in question until we wait another 20 or 30 years and see what happens to the Middle East and mm-hmm. oil dependence. It does take the benefit of time to analyze a legacy.
Well, and it also is fascinating to me how people can come into power, be popular for a long time, and then we have almost a fall from grace near the end of their terms. And that happens quite regularly. It's not just Margaret Thatcher near the end of her term. She was losing power and losing support. But even going back to Winston Churchill, who essentially Winston Churchill was a hero helping see Britain through World War II, but then was unceremoniously pushed out of office after the war. So even the heroes get pushed out sooner or later. Let's have our final reading for today. In keeping with Thatcher's request, there were no eulogies. Only hymns she loved from her Methodist upbringing, readings of scripture by her granddaughter Anne Cameron, and the address by Bishop of London, Richard Charters. Her coffin was taken from the Palace of Westminster, home to Parliament, the scene of some of her greatest triumphs, for the short trip to St. Paul's Cathedral. In a rare move, Big Ben was silenced. At the cathedral, a guard of honor in red suits and large black furry hats greeted the arrival of the coffin, which was carried in by pallbearers and out again an hour later to the pealing of bells.
Well, in the first paragraph here, we hear more about Thatcher's, the actual funeral and what Thatcher wanted for her funeral. We learn that she asked that there be no eulogies, but just hymns that she loved from her childhood, her upbringing.
Okay, eulogy.
Well, it's something you usually read, a speech of some sort or a piece of writing read about someone who's recently died.
Okay, and a hymn?
A hymn is usually a song sung in a church that's written a long time ago.
Okay, and then we see here these were from her upbringing.
Upbringing, meaning how you were raised. So I imagine her younger years.
Okay, or her childhood, and then also readings of Scripture.
Scripture, meaning from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. All right, and these were all handled by her granddaughter and also Prime Minister David Cameron. And the address, there was an address usually. What happens with this?
Right, someone will just give a short kind of sermon, if you will, about maybe the religious aspects of Mrs. Thatcher's life, and that was done by the Bishop of London, Richard Charters.
Okay, and this is a very typical ceremony. Sounds kind of low key from a lot of these head of state ceremonies, right?
Yes, I can remember President Reagan's funeral. There were mm-hmm. many eulogies read talking about his impact on American history, but in this case, no, there was no kind words said or stated by any of the famous people who attended.
Interesting. I'm just thinking now, for instance, of the funeral for Princess Diana, which was a much more elaborate ceremony. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's a difference. You know, they might treat the royalty different, and especially Diana was so special and unique. And so that situation was – and how she passed away was – such an abrupt thing. So they needed some type of large healing ceremony.
That's true.
Yeah.
A lot of times that is done for the society itself to have their period of mourning and mm-hmm. to deal with their grief and pay their respects. But in this case, I think you alluded a little bit to her dementia. She was not in good health. This wasn't a surprise to anyone mm-hmm. that she died.
Yeah, in many ways, Ronald Reagan's passing was like that way. Time had passed, his history had faded, and so it was much, by the time that happens, a lot of people are just forgetting about the person.
And in fact, that was actually one of her last public visits was she attended President Reagan's funeral. Mm-hmm. And her health had gotten so bad that she recorded the eulogy she delivered at that funeral via videotape
right.
a year earlier.
Yeah, yeah, because it's something they couldn't really risk her speaking at the funeral
right.
by that time. Now, we had heard earlier about the coffin being borne through London to the cathedral. Now we're finishing things up here, Joanna.
Well, her coffin was taken from the Palace of Westminster, which is home to Parliament, also the scene of some of her greatest triumphs, for the short trip to the cathedral.
Okay. And we see the scene of some of her greatest triumphs. If you've never watched on the BBC some of the debates that occur in Parliament in England, recommend that you do. It is fantastic to watch the Conservatives and the Labour Party members debate each other. Their oratorical skills are fantastic. You will enjoy it. And she was known for having a very sharp tongue in these debates. So in a rare move, Big Ben was silenced, the big clock there in London, so it was not ringing anytime during the funeral. And at the cathedral?
Well, a guard of honor in red suits and large black furry hats greeted the arrival of the coffin.
Okay, the very typical honor suits that the British military will wear, the British guards. And then we see that the coffin was carried by who?
Pallbearers. Pallbearers are what you call the people who carry the coffin. You usually see about six, I think. Coffins are quite heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are quite heavy. It's interesting to think about the difference in funerals as opposed to here to Asia, where there's usually cremation. We don't have, you know, a lot of, you know, carrying of coffins or the pallbearers. But I have actually been a pallbearer on a few funerals, and they are heavy.
Mm.
And a lot of times we're carrying it from the final carrying is from the hearse, the car that carries the coffin, up to the cemetery. And then we have to carry it from the hearse to the gravesite, which sometimes can be a long distance. And you talk about my arm is about to come out of my shoulder. That's how heavy these things are. So that's why we need six people to be pallbearers at a funeral. So we see at the bottom of the right column there, in attendance, a sidebar that lists some of the people that were there for Margaret Thatcher's funeral. So if you really want to understand history and understand why things might be the way they are today, it's always very good to go back and look at some of the leaders and the politics that existed maybe 20, 30 years ago, help explain economics, disagreements between countries, things like that. I do recommend you go back and study Margaret Thatcher. It'll be a great lesson for you and help you understand England today. Thanks for being here, listeners, for our second newsworthy clip. Come on back tomorrow for day 3.